An Illinois State University researcher is learning some pretty big things with some help from teeny tiny worms. Andres Vidal-Gadea, he leads a team doing groundbreaking work on how animals detect the magnetic field of the Earth. And he just won another $630,000 grant from the National Science Foundation to continue the work. And he speaks to GLT's Ryan Denham about how more animals than you expect use the Earth's magnetic field to move around.
Most people think that only a few animals perform this trick, sort of like bats can echolocate or, you know, dolphins use sonar. But magnetic orientation is actually widely spread across the animal kingdom. Even bacteria in lakes can do this. You have large animals like whales, and you have sharks, you have salmon and other fish, you have lobsters, ants, mole rats. The list goes on and on. And for a long time, a lot of the research in magnetic field orientation has been increasing the list of more and more and more animals can do this. So it's quite widely spread across, you know, different groups of animals.
So the big question for you then is how? How do animals use the Earth's magnetic field to do this? And to figure this out, my understanding is that you are studying the neurological systems of tiny worms.
Yes.
So why worms?
So one of the challenges for understanding magnetic orientation is, one, animals usually respond really strongly to things like fire or a predator. But migrating to a magnetic field, the magnetic field is there all the time. And so animals must choose to engage in this. And so birds, for example, they migrate only during the breeding season or the changing of the seasons. That's the only time they pay attention. And when they do their behavior, it's typically a planetary behavior. Birds can migrate from pole to pole. And they have, so that behavior is really hard to study because it takes, the lab will be the whole planet. And in their case, their brains have billions of neurons. And so figuring out which of those neurons are responsible for detecting the magnetic field, it has been compared to finding a needle in a haystack. In our case, our worms, they are really small, and their entire behavioral repertoire takes place within the confines of a lab, which we can control, so we can study the behavior thoroughly. But also, they only have 302 neurons rather than billions. And to give you an idea, I mean, most people will have 300 people in their social media they can keep track every day. And so with the worm, we can keep track of every single neuron, so the problem becomes much simpler. And that's why we've chosen to study this animal.
So what are some things that you've already learned by studying these worms?
We have found that these animals, now we know that animals use multiple ways to detect the magnetic fields, that some animals are believed to be able to see the magnetic field using light and photoreceptors in the eye. Birds are an example of this. Other animals don't use light, and instead they use tiny magnets that they themselves manufacture in their bodies. And they can use these magnets to, sort of like a compass needle, to align with the north and then decide which way they're going to travel. One of the first things we figured out was that C. elegans does not use light, and that in fact, their bodies manufacture this. They have these little magnets inside of them.
These are the worms that you're talking
about. The worms that we're studying.
There's a Latin name or a full proper name for these worms.
Yes, so they're called, the short Latin name is C. elegans, and the name elegans was coined because rather than just wiggle, like you will imagine a worm will wiggle kind of to and fro, these little critters, they move in these nice sinusoidal waves like the ocean waves. And the people who first saw them, they thought that was quite elegant and therefore named them with that name. So these animals, they're 1 millimeter long, so they are no bigger than the dot on an eye in one of your pages. And they are able to detect the magnetic field and orient. And so we figured out they have these little magnets inside of them. And we are also able, because the worms have such few neurons, only 30 neurons of the 300 they use to detect the world around them. And we were quickly able to identify the ones that they use to detect the magnetic field. And so this was the first animal from that long list of organisms spanning from whales to ants and worms, that the first animals that where we have one set of sensory neurons that are detecting the magnetic field. So that's kind of the power of the simplicity of this animal.
Yeah, and is that sort of, I've heard you talk about this, is calling this one of the holy grails of sensory and neuroscience. And I wonder if you can talk about that a little bit more. Why figuring that out is so important to this field?
We understand a lot about our senses. I can give you a text that we used to teach biology, and you have no problems finding out how eyes see light and how we can smell and taste. These things have been understood for a very long time. But magnetic field orientation has eluded scientists because of their behavior is very state-dependent, depending on the season, and because animals use different systems, they use light or not. And so it has eluded scientists and for many, many decades. And so because of this, it is one of the final frontiers in sensory neuroscience, which it busies itself with understanding how we and how animals detect the world around them. So yes, a lot of people are trying to understand this, and they're using different systems, people working on turtles, people working on birds, on rats, on mice, on all kinds of organisms, everybody racing each other to kind of be the one lab that figures out how this sensory modality, is accomplished.
Well, I certainly don't want to imply that every scientific discovery needs a consumer application.
Yeah, yeah.
Your work doesn't have to lead to something that can go on the shelf at Walmart. But I do want to ask, 5-10 years from now, if you know a lot more about how animals migrate, how would that knowledge potentially be applied to make the world a better place?
No, I think that's a very important question. And so we have an eye to understand the natural world, and that's what we're interested in doing. But we're also very aware that this is a human endeavor, and so there are some practicalities that we need to address. And so we are always trying to apply the knowledge that we gain, the insights, into more broad, widely spread things, right? And so in my lab, this is one of the projects that we have. It turns out one of the things we learned is that worms use this magnetic field to migrate vertically in the soil, to go up and down within the earth, right? And this insight led us to test animals migrating through media, through dense materials. And this opened a whole new direction of research in our lab, where we're actually testing animals that model muscular dystrophy. And this is a human disease that affects 1 in 3,500 males. And that insight generated by this project kind of opened a whole new line of research. It's funded by NIH, so there's another grant for that. We use these animals to model aspects of the disease better than it can be modeled with other animals like dogs or mice and other animals, and try to understand how to solve the problem faced by people with the disease. So that's kind of a direction that happened as a consequence of this. Another direction that we're exploring in our lab right now, once we understand that the animals are made of proteins and DNA and all the things, and they interact with the magnetic field of the Earth, that led us to think, well, are there other parts of the animal that interact with the magnetic field of the Earth? And so one new line of research in our lab is trying to understand if the magnetic field of the Earth has any role in animal development and health. Because right now, you may be aware, people are trying to send humans to Mars and into space away from our Earth's magnetic field. And nobody has stopped to think what will happen when we do that. And so we have students in our lab that are basically mimicking the magnetic field of Mars and the magnetic field of Earth and growing animals in those two conditions and comparing one to the other and trying to identify, is the magnetic field of the Earth is just useful to life, just to tell animals to migrate one direction or another, or if it plays a more fundamental role in biology and actually we need it, right? So that's what those students are. So this is more applied, using the same equipment and the same insights that we have generated from this one project, for example.
So my understanding is you've recently earned a $638,000 grant from the National Science Foundation to support this research, to study how animals detect the magnetic field of the Earth. So how has that grant helped your work?
Oh, it is an enormous help. So far, we've been able to conduct this research to this point using the startup funds that the university provided us when I started my lab, and also some other grants for starting faculty that the university has in place. And so I'm very grateful for those opportunities, and they allowed us to come, to generate some more insights and some new findings and articles. And those led to this grant. And so this grant will do a few things. One of them is going to fund some graduate students to come and actually do the work. I just, communicate what we find, but the ones doing the actual work are in the lab right now. These are my students. And so this will allow us to fund them and so find a couple of graduate students and find undergraduate researchers in our lab. We usually have at least 15 undergraduate researchers in our lab on these different projects. And it will also allow us to conduct some of the more challenging experiments that, unfortunately, some of these experiments are quite expensive. And so these funds will allow us to conduct these experiments. We're hoping that we're in a position, because of this organism, this animal, and its simplicity, that we can actually have a chance to figure out how do they exactly interact with the magnetic field. What moves? The animal is a machine. Inside of them, there is going to be something that moves when the animal changes orientation with the magnetic field. And we are very eager to figure out what that is, and there is a good chance that is going to be repeated in other organisms that also orient to the magnetic field.
That's Andres Vidal-Gadea, an assistant professor in the biology department at Illinois State University. He spoke to GLT's Ryan Denham.